Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. If you are calling to obtain information on how to get a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For all of you that don't like to give your comments or ask your questions or your prayer requests over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as well. Amen. So, without further ado, those of you that's listening, if you don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we are gathered together and assembled here in the name of Jesus Christ to go into the Word of God today. Father, I pray that everyone that seeks truth, that's listening to this broadcast, would find it in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, I pray that as your Word is given today, that you would touch it by your Spirit and empower it, that it may do the work that it needs to do in the lives of those that are listening. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and time that you've given me to present the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to those that are listening. And I will give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to open up with, once again, the scripture from one of the Lord's book called The Word of the Lord, where he'd been sending messages through his angel messenger, the Elijah, amen, from 1927 to 1994 thus far. He has sent a total of 120 messages. I'm here to say that's not the end of them. That's what he has sent thus far. And I want to read a verse from one of the messages, which is called the 54th message. Jesus sent it out March the 9th, 1942. And so I've given that date. So in your personal prayer time with the Lord, you can go before the Lord and say, Lord, did you send a message through an angel? March the 9th, 1942. Okay? That is what the Lord wants me to do, to tell you about it and to point you to him. Now, this is the first time that I've led on a message on the broadcast since I think it was Thursday. Had some things to come up, had to take some days off, but I'm back. Thank God. Glory be to God. In this message, the sixth verse in this message, it says, this work shall continue on, for love is the message I bring. The church of Christ shall never again be destroyed. The evil shall not prevail against her, for she shall be adorned with a crown of 12 bright stars and garments of righteousness. Now, as I've said many times before, one of the interesting things in that message that the Lord says in sending his angel messenger to tell us is that the church of Christ should never again be destroyed, which indicates to us and let us know that at one time the church of Christ was destroyed. The church, the kingdom here on earth, I'm not talking about up in the heaven where the Lord is, but the kingdom part here on earth was destroyed, was overthrown, was brought to ruins. Amen. And over these past few series, we have been looking at things that contribute to its destruction. Okay. And we are on one of them in this part of the series dealing with the persecution. The persecution was one of the contributing factors that led to the destruction and ruin of the early church here on earth after Christ had established. Now, if you have your Bibles, let us go to Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to dive some more into this. This is part two today of first century persecution. Part two, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 11 in your Bibles. Amen. We're going to go to verse 12. And before we go into that, I want to give you once again a definition of the word persecution or persecute, so we can get an idea of understanding what we're dealing with in this lesson today. The word persecution or persecute means to harass or punish in a manner designed to injure, grieve, or afflict, specifically to cause to suffer because of belief. We're looking at and talking about how that since persecution was one of the contributing factors to the destruction and the overthrow of the church here, especially the first century church or the church that Christ established, since it was a contributing factor, we want to understand what do we mean about the persecution. Well, what it's saying is that God's people was harassed and punished because of their faith in Christ. They was punished in such a way to hurt them, to inflict them, to injure them, okay? Amen. Now, I want you guys to understand this, because some of you may say, why are you talking about the persecution? Are you trying to scare us? No, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to make you aware that this thing is serious. I'm trying to make you aware that when God say things about being rooted and study to show thyself approved and endure and all that, I want you to understand he's not saying it in vain. And what is happening and what God has been showing me is that some of his people are taking what he has said in his word for granted. So this is why they're not doing it. This is why this is one of the reasons why they're not doing it. They don't even have a mind to do it, because they think because I'm saved, everything's all right. I'm going to float through life on a bed of roses, blah, blah, all of that. Boom. Okay. And they think that they're not going to suffer any punishment because of their faith in Christ. It is not God punishing them. It's the devil through man. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? And so God wants you to be aware that this is what you're facing. Now, here's what another thing that I want to address as we get ready to go into the scriptures. We in the United States, and I say this without no gobbling in my throat. I say this without any fear. I'm going to say it to be honest. We don't know the full level of persecution yet. Now, when you take a trip to these other countries, you go to Iran and all them countries, you are going to experience, if you are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to face the highest level of persecution. Okay? Now, I know some of us in the United States might get offended at what I'm saying, but hey, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for telling you. I'm sorry you got offended, but I still love you anyhow. Okay? I'm not sorry for telling you, because that's the truth. See, we hear about our brothers and sisters in other countries getting their head cut off. I'm talking about for the gospel now. Let's make that clear. We hear about them getting their heads cut off. We hear about them getting beaten. We hear about them being left in prison to starve to death and die. And we go, oh, that's so sad. I'm going to pray for them. And we should. But we also are thinking in our mind, oh, we in a good USOA. We got to worry about that happening over this way. My Lord, help us. Remember this. Think about this for a minute. As a Christian, let me address you as Christians that's listening. Let me ask you a question. The God that you accept, the Lord Jesus Christ that you accept, is he a biased person? Is he a respecter person? That's my question to you. Now, if you also say, well, you know, if you got to go, well, you know, that tells me you ain't even studying the word, or you don't believe what the word says, because the word said he's not a respectable person. He's not partiality. He's not being biased. So think about it. If that being said, which it is in the word, then why would God allow brothers and sisters in Christ in the other countries to go through that highest level of persecution there is? But we over here in the United States get to sit on the beach and let the wind blow through our hair. I'm talking about us Christians now. And everything's going fine, and we're not really facing nothing big. But over there, the same ones who are called Christians like us is getting beheaded, getting beaten, getting thrown in prison, left to starve and die. Why is that? If that being the case, then I see that God is a biased person. But see, the word of God tells me he's nay. So I'm going to go with the word of God. So this series that we're going in here about the persecution, I'm going to say this. It is especially need to be heard about us Christians here in the United States. If anybody really needs to hear this message, oh my God, help me. If anybody really needs to pay attention to this message about the persecution, it especially should be American Christians. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, we was looking at that scripture a little bit more closely in part one. And the reason why I took you to that way to look at it closely is because, and this is dealing with the persecution, that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. And one of the reasons why I was looking at it to take you through that journey and look at it more closely, because I have heard many Christians take this verse, and when the Bible said the violent take it by force, they have said that the violent represent Christians. And now when you look at that verse and you really look at this and study and examine that verse, you would say what? Why would the Christians, first of all, why would they be referred as violent? And why would they try to take the kingdom by force with violence? Now, remember in part one, we looked at the definition of what violent and violence is. A person that's violent, one of the things Webster says is a person that's prone to violence. Okay? And you can define what violence is. So, in looking at that verse, the violent in this verse couldn't be Christians. But see, I see so many Christians using this verse to say, hey, that's us. We're taking the kingdom by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And they just be shaking. Oh, I'm getting it by force. That ain't you. And if it is you, then you are not a Christian. If you tell me that this violent is you, then you ain't a Christian. You the one trying to take the kingdom by force. And what we looked at, as we continue to look in part one, we looked at Psalms 86 and Proverbs 16. Well, we come to understand that David in his prayer, he talks about the wicked and assembly of violent men in the same verse, which let us know that the violent is connected to the wicked, okay? And we see from Proverbs, Solomon tells us that the wicked is the one that will lead people astray or away from the Lord. So this violent that come to take the kingdom by force is not godly people. It is ungodly people. It is the enemy that comes to take it by force. Amen. Think about it. I mentioned to you that since the kingdom of heaven also represents that which is right or good, then if something's trying to take it by force, that means that the thing that's trying to take it by force has to be the opposite of it. Amen? Which is evil. Because, see, when you're dealing with someone like the devil don't care about your will, okay? He'll try to take you against your will. He'll try to take things at you, just force you into stuff. See, one of the things about God, God is not into the area of forcing you. Please hear me on this. He's not in the area of forcing you. Just like as a Christian, we have the Bible. Let's say, for example, we got the Bible. And in the Bible, we're told of the good and the bad. And we're told about what God wants us to do and what God don't want us to do. And out of all of that, what he does is that he then displayed all that information to you. He lets you choose whether you want to do the right or the wrong. He does not force you to do what he calls right. You understand that? Now, Satan, once again, don't care about your will. And if anybody trying to force you to do anything, it will be the devil. So since the Bible says here, as we read in Matthew, that the kingdom of heaven is taken by the violent that takes it by force, then we know that the violent couldn't be nobody good. It had to be evil or some evil people, okay? Basically, we come to understand it is connected to those who are wicked. You hear what I'm saying? And that's why in Proverbs, Solomon tells us that it's the wicked that will lead astray, will lead people away from the Lord. So this violent included someone who will lead the people away from the Lord, okay? Once again, not someone that's for the Lord, but someone that is against the Lord. You get what I'm saying? An enemy to God that was coming to try to take the kingdom, okay? You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. They were wicked. The violent was wicked. When you got someone that's prone to act of violence, that's wickedness, okay? God is not encouraging his people to be prone to acts of violence, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. When you look in states like, for example, Illinois, what's going on there in Chicago, you think God is making those folks do the acts of violence, all these drive-by shootings, huh? I can't disagree with you on something before I want to do a drive-by and shoot about you and your family members. You think God is putting that into the hearts of the people to acts of violence? No, it's the devil. It's the devil. They heed the voice of the enemy. When the enemy say, hey, they don't agree with you, man. They ain't wearing the same colors. You like, you know, you for the blue, they wearing the red. All of a sudden, man, you need to do a drive-by. So they listen and say, yeah, do a boom. Amen. Hallelujah. You think that drug dealers in a neighborhood, okay, or gangbangers in a neighborhood, you think that they ask the people in the neighborhood, go to the neighborhood meeting and say, we just want to ask you, can we take your neighborhood over? Do you think they do that? No. They come and take it by what? By force. They ain't asking you any permission. No. So that taking by force has to be something that's evil. And that, so that violent people, please, those of you that's Christians that's shaking and jumping and saying, that's me, it ain't you. And if it is you, guess what? You ain't a Christian. Because if you're taking the kingdom by force, that means you violent and you wicked, okay? So that's not of God. So this persecution that was to come to the people of God, who is the part of the kingdom, were to come by what? Violent and wicked men whom Satan would be working through. You get what I'm saying? Let's go on a little bit more about this. I want to read a verse here from another one of God's books called The Record of Nephi. There's a record of the Nephites of how God dealt with them over here on this continent. Yes, the Lord didn't just deal with people over there in Jerusalem. Yes, there's. I will say I hate to bust people bubbles, but I don't, because it's the word of God, okay? It's the word of God. Because, you know, you got some people think, like, for example, they think they're the only Christians there is. Yeah, you got some Christians think they're the only ones that God only deals with them, God only uses them, only God only speaks to them. Anybody else that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and born again and become a Christian, they won't accept. So God has to do, he has to do a move around among them to get those Christians that think they're the only ones to shut their mouth at times. You understand what I'm saying? So God didn't just, Jesus didn't just deal with people there in Jerusalem. He dealt with people over here on this continent. Oh, yeah. He dealt with people over here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And they took an account of God dealing with them over here. The judgment, the statutes, the commandments that God gave over here. But guess what? It doesn't contradict what he gave where? Over there in Jerusalem. That's the beauty of it, people. Because if it contradicts, then you have the right to say, well, what God told them that? Because it sounds like two different gods. One say this, and then the other one say that on the same subject. It must be more than one God. No, it was one. It's only one true and living God. Now, in what is called the Book of Alma, in this record of Nephi, 5th chapter, 57th verse, this is what the word says. It says, and now I say unto you, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean thing, And behold, their names shall be blotted out, that the names of the wicked shall not be numbered among the righteous, that the word of God may be fulfilled, which says, the names of the wicked shall not be mingled with the names of my people. So remember, this violence in Matthew 11 and 12 is connected to the wicked, which is a people that God said come out from among, which is a people that God tell you to be ye separate. Okay? So since the violent is connected to the wicked, then the wicked or the violent were the ones that, what, trying to take the kingdom by force. The people that God told them, his people, to be separate from is the same ones that come in and trying to what? Take the kingdom by force. The same ones that he said in the word here, whose names are blotted out, who shall not be numbered among the righteous. They're the ones who are being used to persecute the true believers. Even, and get this, in the first century after Christ established the church. Amen. Hallelujah. See, the true faithful suffer that high level persecution. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is why God wants to get his people prepared, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. See, some, like I said, some Christians think, well, we're saved and God's going to keep us in his hand. Everything's going to be okay. So they think that they're not going to be harassed and punished because of their belief in Christ. And so when something like that arises, then they almost self-destruct and think that God has turned his back on them. Now, I'm just being honest with you. That's the truth. See, the Lord wants his people to prepare for these things. And some of his people think just because they haven't seen it yet that it ain't going to happen. Oh, that's one of the worst things about it. Especially here in America. Man, my God, help us, Lord. We're so spoiled, and we're so out of touch with some things that is of truth of God, of the gospel of Christ, that is actually scary, and also, you know, it's just plain pitiful. Because we have not seen that highest level of persecution, in our minds, we think, it can't come here. It ain't going to come here. And then the devil just started saying, yeah, you right. It ain't going to come here. You right. You know, you keep thinking that you right. What is it setting us up for? It's setting us up for some of us to be more and more turning on God. Why is that? Because once again, when it start rising up here, what's one of the first things people going to be thinking? God, this shouldn't be happening. They shouldn't be harassing me. They shouldn't be wanting to punish me because of my belief in you. Lord, where are you? You turn your back on me. Amen. And this one of the reasons why you're going to find some Christians in this day of time, they're going to quit walking with God. Because they're going to say, hey, I don't like this. I don't like them mailing me because I believe in Jesus. I don't like that. I don't like my family members harassing and punishing me, treating me like an outcast and don't want to be around me because I believe in Jesus. I don't like that. So what's going to happen is some of the Christians going to say, I can't do this no more. Cause I need my family. I need my uncle and auntie, you know. They cook good sweet potato pie, and he take me fishing all the time, and we were real close, and I can't afford to lose that. Now, some of y'all think I'm being far-fetched by what I'm saying, but I'm telling you. And some of you know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Some of you know I'm telling the truth. You may have either experienced it or know somebody that happened to. But they didn't want to talk none of that about the Lord. They didn't want to, you know, and you start picking up on it. You're going, man, you didn't just turn away from the Lord because they let you know, I can't afford to lose my husband or I can't afford to lose my wife. See, we're supposed to love our family. We're supposed to love our husband and love our wife. But if you ever read in the Bible, God set an order. And he said the top of the line is him. If you try to put anything over the top of that line, you are in the realm of idolatry. And God said, I'm a jealous God. I will have no other God before me. When you put that person or whatever over that top line, you have made them your God. And God said, I'm a jealous God. And God said, I'm going to show you that I am the only God, and the next step finna happen, you finna go down. Period. I mean, any discussion, ain't no need to, I mean, ain't nothing else more to be said. Amen. So this kingdom, this violence that was to take the kingdom by force was wicked men, were wicked people, okay? So please, Christian, that keep repeating it. I know some of y'all repeating it out of ignorance. I know, I understand that. I understand that. Please stop it. And if you, and then if you say, well, Brother Nate, that's you, well, please do me a favor. Study the scripture yourself. You can go back to part one and listen to some of the things I presented to you. Go study yourself. Brother Nate is not here on the broadcast to tell you, say, hey, you better just listen to what I say. Don't you look it up yourself. I'm not going to be that crazy now, okay? Hey, I'm not going to point you to think that I don't miss it, don't make a mistake. I'm not going to point you to think that I'm God. I'm not doing that, okay? Now, I got to give you what God give me, but I also got to point you to him. Now, it's up to you to search it out. You can keep running on the words like, well, that's just Brother Nate. Well, if you want to run on that, just run on that. But your eyes going to be open before the smoke clears. When the smoke clears, rather, your eyes going to be open. I promise you that. Now, so the violent takes the kingdom by force. Okay? Amen. Now, here's the question. Who's supposed to have the kingdom? In other words, who the kingdom really belongs to? Belongs to the Lord, right? Amen? Now, I mean, for example, there are five things that make up a kingdom. And the first thing you got to have, what? It's a king. Can't have a kingdom without a king, people. So once again, who the kingdom supposed to belong to? It's supposed to belong to our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So if the violent take it by force, then, and these Christians saying that they're the violent, then that means that you're trying to take the kingdom that belongs to God from him. You're trying to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's if you call yourself the violent. You're trying to take something from God by force. Okay. And then at the same time, you're talking about, I love the Lord. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. If the husband is telling the wife, I love you, but he's trying to force her to do stuff, where's the love? Okay. Amen. Same way with the wife. She said, I love you, husband. I love you. But she's trying to force him to do stuff. Where's the love? Amen. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Let's go Old Testament. Okay, Old Testament hollers, please, please. Don't want to hear that. Oh, he's in the Old Testament. We're in New Testament. Please. Would you please go and study the word for yourself before you jump up and start hollering this? You know, it's too many Christians. You come with a scripture from the Old Testament, the first thing they want to jump up and say, Cedar told you something is wrong with him. Starting from the Old Testament. I didn't say, let's go study about sacrifices of bulls and goats or all the ordinances that the law of Moses gave. You did not hear me say that. Now, however, the Old Testament still has scriptures in there. Do you know the Old Testament still contains some scriptures that God has yet to fulfill in this day and time? Could you believe that? Oh, yes. Okay. We can look at the words of the prophets alone. When you go from the Isaiah to the Jeremiah to the Ezekiel, you can look at their work. They spoke, you know, here's the interesting thing about God. This is where God starts to shut us up on stuff. Do you know that them Old Testament prophets, God gave them a New Testament word today in their time? Did you know that? So why would you go and just disregard the whole Old Testament? Why would you do that? These Old Testament prophets spoke stuff that's supposed to go on today, people. So come on, we got to think. We ain't thinking. We too busy one side of jumping. Oh, my goodness, you're coming from a scripture from the Old Testament. And, okay. Now, if you hear me tell you, say, hey, you know, we really should be still sacrificing those animals, and we still should be doing these ordinances that God had Moses, then you have every right to politely put your finger up on that button and go click me off, okay? Amen. Now, Daniel chapter 7, and I want to read first verse 18. And then I'm going to read verse 27. In the same seventh chapter of Daniel. Now look at this. Verse 18 said, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." Now there goes some of you go, oh, there you go, Brother Nate. It said that the saints should take the kingdom. Okay. All right. Let's go to verse 27. It said, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given." Uh-oh. "To who? The people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Now, you tell me about that. Since you think that you're the violent, spoken in Matthew 11 and 12, that's supposed to really persecute the people of the kingdom. And I know you see in verse 18 I read, it said, "And the saints shall take the kingdom." And some of you go, oh, there it goes, Brother Nate. The saints going to take the kingdom. But see, in verse 27, it says it's going to be given to them. So what is what? Well, let me break that down to you. What it's saying, if you combine the two scriptures, the Lord is going to give the kingdom to the saints. They're going to take or receive it. It's not that taken by force that we're seeing in Matthew 11. Do you understand what I'm saying? It ain't that, okay? Hallelujah. See, evil and wickedness and the devil love to do stuff out of order, force you against your will, take stuff against your will. Oh, it like doing that, okay? Not the Lord. It's not the Spirit of God. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Well, you can say amen, oh me, or, you know, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, as I said before, this, we're looking at the persecution. People, this is highly important. I mean, a few years ago when God really started dealing with me about this, I mean, I ain't going to tell you no story. Did I have any kind of concern hearing about being a persecution and what happened to the early church? Yes, I did. Because let's be honest. Don't nobody like getting persecuted, especially you getting shot at or cut up or something like that. Nobody up there getting in line saying, well, I'm next. No. But here's what you need to think about it. When you're being punished or harassed because of your faith in Christ, that what Christ is going to reward you for that is going to outweigh what you went through. Always remember that. Christ is always giving you that which is going to surpass your trial. What I mean, for example, whatever you had to go through to stand on the word of God, when the reward, Lord manifests the reward for you doing that, your reward is going to outshine what you went through to have to stand to receive it. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, have you ever been waiting for something for so long, and when you finally got it, you think back on, you know, what you went through to wait on, and you go, it didn't make it seem like it wasn't as bad as what I thought it was at then. Had it ever happened to you? I know it happened to me, and I know that I believe some of you can vouch for that. It didn't happen to you, okay? So that's the beautiful thing about Christ, that all this stuff you're going through, and you still standing on the word, when God manifests his promise, it's going to be to a point like it just like, you like, yeah, I went through it, but man, what I got outshined. You'll get to a point you even forget about it, what you went through. You're just glad you got what God had manifested. You understand what I'm saying? So, and looking at this persecution, and I wanted to open up with this because in this part in dealing with the persecution, this not going to be able to fit all in part two today. But now I want to look at the persecution that and one part I say begin in the early church after Christ established. I want to look at the persecution that began in the early church after Christ established it. But before I go there, I want to go back a little further to what was happening to the godly before Christ established the church, because the persecution not only just, I wouldn't say just officially began after the church was established, but there was a persecution that was going on before Christ established the New Testament church. You said, well, what do you mean? Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. Let's go there. Amen. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 3. I want to start out there. I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 3. And then we're going to go into Matthew chapter 14. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, reading verses 1 to verse 3. Now, look what the word of God says. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard, and this is John the Baptist, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that shall come, or do we look for another? So Christ is going out and he's teaching and preaching in the cities. And the Bible said, now when John had heard in the prison, John's in prison. What, John, what you doing? You're a follower of the Lord. You're a prophet of the Most High God. What is you doing in prison? And the Bible said, when he heard of the works of Christ while he was in prison, he sent a message to him and said, art thou he that shall come, or do we look for another? Okay. But the key thing, one of the things I want you to look at, see that the Bible said, John heard of the works of Christ while he was in prison. Why he's in prison? Okay, let's look at, see, dealing with what he's doing in prison. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Let's take a look at this. Hallelujah. And I'm going to start at verse 1 here, Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 1. And the word said, at that time, Herod, the tetrarch, to me, he was a ruler over a certain part of the country, that heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servant, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Now, wait a minute. Now, look what he said. He hears about the Bible said, the fame of Christ, and he says, this ain't nobody but John the Baptist. He risen from the dead. Okay. Now, they're going to show you back then that there were people that believed that folks can rise from the dead. Now, when you look at it, you have to watch out because people think you got some people that believe in reincarnation. Yeah, they do. You in one life was a person, but you raised up in life, you resurrect from the dead, but you're a bird now. People, that ain't scripture. That's not scripture. That's not of God. And so we go to verse 3. It says, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him where? In prison. For Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. So John was put in prison. Herod put him in prison for Herodias. Okay? For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Oh, his brother's wife. Herod was sleeping and messing around with his brother's wife. And John did what? He told him the truth. He said, it ain't lawful for you to have her. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when you speak the word to even rulers, this is where the persecute. See how John was persecuted? Because he spoke the word of truth to rulers, to a ruler. And when you speak the word that shows and exposes their sin or their evil that they're doing, guess what, people? You ready for this? You're going to be persecuted. Now, I ain't talking about you going up there and crying, saying, I got something for you. No, cut that attitude out. Cut that spirit out. I'm talking about when you're really standing and speaking the word of truth, when you first about thinking about the salvation or saving of that person's soul, you're going to have some leaders today. Amen. Whether you're speaking to certain pastors, whether you're speaking to certain clergymen or certain people in government or positions. When God gives to you and you know the word and you speak the word, that, hey, what you're doing, God said that's wrong. If their heart is not given to doing that which is right, they're going to punish you. Now, there's two types of persecutions, and both of them can combine. There's verbal and there's physical, okay? And when you start speaking this word of truth, even to rulers, when you look at Herod, who was doing the no-no, fooling with his brother's wife. And so John tells it straight out, okay? Ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife, man. That's not right. Well, according to Herod, Herod like, I want to do what I want to do. So when he said that, and apparently Herodias, the one he was fooling with, heard it, the Bible says Herod put John in jail for her sake. Amen. So she's going there talking to him, hey, I don't like what he said about us, you know. Need to lock him up. And Herod like, hey, you know. See, some of you men is being enticed by certain women, and some of you women are being enticed by certain men to do what? To do evil. And see, some of these rulers that you speak this word to, exposing their sin or evil, is going to be what? Going to be enticed by people who this word is exposing what they have connected with them in doing, and they will say, hey, man, you got no business saying about us, man. You need to do this to them. And they're going to do it. So Herod, according to the word of God, he put John in prison for Herodias' sake. Amen? Going on, it said, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So Herod wasn't only going to just, that the Bible says he put John in jail for Herodias' sake, but he would have went further to kill him. But he said that he feared somebody, the people, because they counted him as a prophet. See, back in those days, too, and even before that, a prophet was looked at very seriously. Okay, I mean, you know, they were even, you know, you read in the Bible where they even respect the prophet, so they would bring gifts. So when you was a prophet, that was a serious thing to a lot of people, man, being a prophet. Now, I'm not telling you guys this so you can elevate the office of a prophet, because we got that problem today that, you know, everybody thinks, oh, I just need to go see a prophet. You won't listen to your pastor because he ain't a prophet, okay? He ain't operating the office of a prophet. You won't listen to anybody else bring the word, but you're talking about, and so the only thing a prophet got to do is come to your town, put the big board up on one of your telephone poles and say, hey, I'm prophet so-and-so, and I'll be there at 7 o'clock. Man, you're going to knock everybody over to get there. You know why? Because you think that just because this person say they're a prophet, that when you get there, they're going to tell you all the cars and the money and the women and the men and all this stuff that you can get, all the goody-good, okay? Because that's what many people's mentality is about a prophet. They don't like the true prophet that tells them, thus says the Lord, repent. Oh, they ready to get up out the scene and leave now. And they let you know, I ain't come back to that church. I don't want to hear that man no more. Amen. You know, you had those in the Bible that wanted, you know, for example, Balaam was a prophet of the Lord. Balak wanted him to do what? Curse Israel. And every time he got Balaam there to speak to curse Israel, a number of blessings come out of the mouth of Balaam. Making Balak mad all the time. Hey, man, hey, I'm bringing you here to curse Israel. You keep blessing him. And Balaam told him, said, I can't curse what God has blessed. Okay, I can't curse them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Okay? Oh, she's doing a dancey dance now. Let me tell y'all something. I know some of y'all don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. Every dance ain't good. You know, some of you, you didn't got to a point just because you put some so-called gospel song and you shaking your behind to the east and the west. You talking about, we doing it for the Lord. What Lord you doing it for? We got going on among, quote, the Christian community, we have a lot of seductive dances going on. I mean, you got people dressing seductively, and you got them dancing seductively to what they call gospel songs. They showing whatever they got see-throughs on, and they shaking it here and there. And what they're doing with the flesh, drawing and striking up lust, and talking about we're doing it for the Lord. Now, all we doing is switching partners. Well, not to me, you ain't. Your partner might have put on something else and making you think he's someone else, but you ain't switching no partner. You ain't switching no partners at all. You can counsel that. You with the same devil, okay? Amen. So the Bible said, now here goes Herodias' daughter doing a dance in front. And the Bible said it pleased Herod. Oh, he's looking at a dance. Now, we could go somewhere with that. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. Because if this man was like, it's okay to sleep with his brother's wife, then, hey, what makes you think he ain't short stopping there looking at the door? Now, let's be real, okay? Let's be real about it, okay? So she's dancing and pleasing him, and this was a setup. Amen? Because the Bible says, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Wow, he was so moved by her dance that he made an oath, whatever you ask. Man, that show even show you ain't thinking. This he was caught up in his flesh. Okay? He was caught up in his flesh. And he makes an oath. He didn't, in his oath, it wasn't an oath of limitation. It was of a whatever you ask. Okay? So the Bible says, and she being before instructed of her mother. So her mother, see, like I told you, it was a setup. Okay? See, the Bible told us that the king would have killed John, but he was scared of the people because they viewed him as a prophet. And so ain't no doubt Herodias knew it. So what we do is we get him caught up in making an oath. Well, how we do that, mama? Well, you go, baby, swing your hips in front of him, okay, and get him all caught up in your flesh, and that's going to move him. And it did. It moved him to say, hey, whatever you want. Amen. Here's a question. How come the mama didn't go out there and swing her hips in front of him? Why the daughter? Okay. Well, come on. Now, verse 9 said, the king was sorry. Uh-oh. What he's sorry for? For the oath's sake, and then was sat with him at meat. He commanded it to be given her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Wow. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have some people, please, Christian, I pray you hear this, because of their personal dislike of you, okay? Their personal dislike of your godly stance will, through persuasion, have you persecuted, have you punished. Do you hear that? Herodias didn't like what John said. Apparently, she didn't like her own husband or have a problem with her husband. She wanted to do the sleep around thing too, okay, with the brother. So she didn't like what John said. So, hey, we need to do something here, Herod. Herod threw John in prison, would have killed him, but scared of the people. Herodias, to her, it wasn't enough because to her, long as John's still lingering around, he still have a voice to speak the word of truth. Do you understand that? See, there are going to be people that's out to persecute you because they want to get rid of your voice. They want to stop you from standing and preaching and teaching the law of God, the word of truth. They want to completely cut you off. Completely. Amen. Well, you can say amen or oh me or anyhow or whatever. We also can see to this that there are going to be those that's going to take an oath of evil against you, okay? And we'll persecute you to keep from looking bad in front of others. The Bible said here, because he was sorry, because he made an oath, and because of the people that sat there with him. See, when a king make an oath like that, he know he got to keep his oath. If he don't, the people going to be looking at him in another way, and it ain't going to be good. You understand that? Amen. But see, this is what the Lord wants you to know, people. He wants you to know this. As a Christian, John the Baptist was a prophet of the Most High God. As a Christian, this is what you're going to be facing. This is why God tells you to get prepared. You got to endure. Walk in faith. This is why he be saying all this stuff. But see, some of us as Christians, we have taken for granted what he told us, and we won't even study the word. We won't spend no prayer time with God. We don't spend no time with God. We just on our way. We're trying to figure out how much money we can make, how we can get more money, how we can get more cars, houses. Everything is about this earth and trying to make an advancement and trying to get notoriety. We caught up in all that, but what God told us to do. And one of the reasons why he told us to do this, he said, you better get ready because the pressure is going to be ramped up. And the Lord told me that about, what, back in May, that the intensity toward the believers is going to be turned up, and you're going to be challenged in a greater way because of your faith in Christ. Not the faith in your husband or your wife or your car or your job, but in Jesus. You're going to be confronted more about you believing what Jesus said than probably you ever have been in your life. And when the people confront you, they're going to be sitting there waiting for an answer from you. So instead of you thinking in your mind, how can I wiggle my way out of this and piddle around, I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Amen. I'm going to stop it there today. Lord say the same. We'll come back with part three. Lord say the same Tuesday. Amen. Persecution. I pray that you hear this, people, please. Please hear this. Because what I'm sensing and the Lord letting me see, man, I'm telling you. Y'all think that, and thank God for overturn of the Roe versus Wade, but you think it's over with, huh? No, it ain't. Them folks is hot behind that, okay? And don't think they ain't working overtime and double time and triple time trying to find somewhere they can get something to get over. I'm telling you. Hey. They ain't liking that overturn of the Roe versus Wade. And they don't like too many Christians up there celebrating either. Saying, thank the Lord that that's overturned. They don't want to hear that stuff. They don't want to hear that. People, I'm telling you, get prepared. Some of you finna face persecution by your husbands. Some of you finna face persecution by your wives. Some of you finna face persecution by your children. Some going to face persecution by all your other loved ones, your associates, even friends and even best friends. You finna face persecution. If Jesus Christ is not truly, with the quotation marks around truly, number one, then you're going to be found out. You're going to be found out. And get this, if you are a people person, you're really finna be found out. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be times that you're going to have all turned against you where you're going to feel like you're by yourself. Well, brother, they got to tell you the truth now. Ain't no need of me trying to put sugar and honey on it too. I got to tell you the truth. Like Brother Lee said, this is the castor oil. It's bitter, but guess what? It cleanses. It's not something you run up to the counter and say, pour me some castor oil in the cup. No, but guess what? It cleanses and it works. It's good for you. So, hey, I got to come and tell you this. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for your word, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us this day and keeping us. And Father, I pray that this seed that I've sown have been pleasing in your sight and that it will bring forth the increase. So God, I thank you. I glorify you and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, thank God for the word today. Don't forget tonight, we at 7 o'clock, Brother Eddie Lee will be back on with the full gospel message with Brother Eddie Lee at 7 p.m. tonight. Glory be to God. So once again, This is Brother Nate with Church of Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast titled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.